I want to say how nice it is to see Bill and Wanda Niles out there. Bill and Wanda were members of the church for many years and are now residing in beautiful Colorado, but it's just great to have you back amongst us. I also want to thank everyone for all the support and prayers over the last few weeks as I've been fighting double pneumonia. I've missed being here. I'm slowly getting better, just have a little ways yet to go. A number of people in the congregation have run in marathons. I know Dave Thompson, and are there others? Lynn Gibson, another one of our marathoners. Dave Murphy over there. Greg ran in 5 marathons in Chicago, and during one of those, we bought him a tie. This is a marathon tie with the little runners racing. You have one of those, Dave, too? Yeah. So he wore it yesterday to the presbytery meeting down in Naperville and got a lot of comments on wearing that, and he said that this week we're all marathoners. And how true that is. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, and we want to thank Bruce Carroll, who conveyed that story so beautifully to the children. It's good to see all the Carols. I just see Angie and there you go, Heather over there as well. So good to see you. We've missed you. We're glad you're settled in your home in Wisconsin, but how nice to have you back among us today. The story tells of an Eastertide story of the night of Easter when Jesus appears to the disciples in the locked room. Would you join with me in prayer? Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and your faithful people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of those nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Wow, what a week. One minute it's a beautiful day and everything seemed fine. Crowds line the streets, cheering and celebrating, and all seems right with the world. And then in an instant, the world turns upside down. There are no words to describe the horror that unfolds. How could something like this happen? People who walked around the city without a second thought are now locked away in fear. Fear so thick it is difficult to breathe, to see, to think. What will happen next? What do we do when the unthinkable happens? I could be describing the trauma that took place in Boston this week. Or is it first century Jerusalem of which I speak? The scenario described in the gospel lesson sounds eerily like what we witnessed in Boston. On a bright Sunday morning, Jesus comes parading into Jerusalem, and all seems right with the disciples' world. In fact, they feel on top of that world. And then they watch in horror as the world falls apart, Jesus crucified, their hopes dashed. Their lives are in terrible danger. So they hide in the darkness behind locked doors, and they are terrified. What do we do when the unthinkable happens? There are many in this congregation who have had to face this question. Our own family is one. Not quite 8 years ago, on a beautiful June afternoon, a week after her high school graduation, our beautiful daughter Amy survived a terrible attack and attempt on her life. When I took that phone call, my heart stopped, and then it shattered and broke. Nothing can prepare a parent to get that kind of news. What goes through your mind? We were in shock. It seemed unbelievable, but the nightmare was all too real. What do you do when the unthinkable happens? All we could do was get through the next moment, and then the next, and then the next. In the weeks that followed, people asked me if I had lost faith in the human race. It was a good question. But the answer was simple. One person did a terrible thing, I said, but hundreds of people have wrapped us in love and care. So no, it doesn't make me lose faith in humanity. In fact, it does just the opposite. For in our darkest time, we have been blessed by the very best in the human race. If anything, my faith in humankind has been restored. In Boston this week, we've seen the worst of what people can do, but we have also seen the best. Those first responders, both the official ones, the law enforcement officers, firefighters, medical personnel, for which we have personal experience, they, as well as just plain, ordinary people, risk their own safety and worked around the clock to save lives. They actively ran into the danger in order to help people in need. God bless those first responders and those who join them in a heartbeat, whose courage and compassion restores our faith in the human race. Fred Rogers, we're proud to claim, Presbyterian minister, known to generations of families, as Mr. Rogers said in a comment that was quoted often this week. He said, "When I was a boy and would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" Now, our family was blessed with multitudes of those helpers, people who reached out to us and fed us and prayed for us and loved us while we were locked away in darkness and fear. The first responders helped to save our daughter's life, and the helpers allowed us to heal and gave us the strength eventually to face the world again. We've seen plenty of helpers in Boston and in Texas as well, people rallying around and doing whatever they could to support those injured or in grief. Look for the helpers, and you will see them everywhere. Don't just look for the helpers, be the helpers. God bless the helpers in all places everywhere who refuse to let the darkness win. Earlier this month, our adult Christian education team sponsored a lecture by a Holocaust survivor, Walter Reed. He lost his parents and his brothers, yet here he is in his 90s sharing his story, which remarkably is not one of bitterness and defeat, but of optimism and hope. In a conversation, private conversation following his talk, Greg asked Mr. Reed how he managed to keep such a positive, hopeful spirit. And this man said, "When I arrived in America at the age of 17, I thought, Hitler has ruined the first half of my life. I am not going to let him ruin one more day." God bless Walter Reed and all the survivors who will not allow hope to be locked away, who refuse to let the darkness win. Back in that upper room, the disciples are locked away in darkness and in fear, and who can blame them? The unthinkable has happened. Jesus has been crucified. They huddle in fear, all of them, except for Thomas. Thomas is not with the others at first Easter evening when Jesus appears to the disciples. Where is he? Where is this man who becomes known as Doubting Thomas, which really isn't a fair name for him? You know, nobody knows where Thomas is. But that's not what matters. What is striking about this story is that Thomas is not locked away in fear. He is out and about somewhere in that dangerous city trying to figure out what just happened and what is life going to be like in the aftermath of that terrible, terrible week. He is trying to find a way to live so the darkness will not win. God bless Thomas and James and John and Peter and Mary and Joanna and the others who followed Jesus, who went to the tomb, who huddled in that room, who went back into the world and told others what they had seen so that we too could know that the light of Christ shines in the darkness and even death cannot douse that flame. Jesus comes to the disciples on that first Easter evening, and 1 week later when Thomas is there. The locked doors and darkness cannot keep Jesus from coming to those who are in need of him. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet who have come to believe, Jesus said to Thomas. That's us, you know. It's you and me and everyone else since the time of Jesus. The flesh and blood Savior does not walk among us as he did for that very short time on earth, but he is here through the Holy Spirit and walks among us in those first responders, in those who refuse to let the darkness win. I know it's hard for some of us to talk about what happened in Boston, but it is Eastertide, after all. That oft-neglected season of the church year that we truly began to celebrate just last year, thanks to Greg Dana and his Eastertide crew. During Eastertide, we learn what it means to move out of the shadow of the cross and into the light of resurrection. And when you've been in that darkness, that light feels good. I can vouch for that with my whole heart and soul. It feels great to step out into the light again. We can't all be the first responders, the law enforcement officers, firefighters, medical personnel, but we can be first responders of the heart. We can be the helpers, the people who step back into a dangerous world, who are there in the middle of the darkness bearing light and hope. Locked doors and darkness cannot stop Jesus from coming to those who need him. And we will not allow our souls to be locked away in fear. No, we will not let the darkness win. It may be a Good Friday world, but we are Easter people. We are Easter people. Would you pray with me? Lord, you came to those disciples in their time of greatest fear. You did not let the darkness or the locked doors keep you away. You breathed the Holy Spirit upon them and said, go into the world and tell others the good news. The darkness does not win. The light shines in the world forever. These and the prayers of our hearts we offer in Christ's name. And let all God's people say, Amen.